The Chicago Bulls have shocked the NBA, starting off the season 5-0 in a team that nobody even expected to win over 36 games this upcoming season. We're going to talk about the key areas where the Chicago Bulls are winning and what's contributing to this winning streak as well, and how they could use that tonight against the New York Knicks. We're also going to talk about Josh Giddey's All-Star campaign in the 2025-26 season, and he can do something that we haven't seen being done in a Chicago Bulls uniform in a very long time. We're going to talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into the content for today. I want to talk about four key areas that the Chicago Bulls are really dominating the game of basketball and how it's making this whole multi-attack angle and everything that the Bulls are doing, how it's making this system work for the Chicago Bulls. Number one is that the Chicago Bulls lead the league in assists per game at 30.6. They're eighth in total assists as well. They're ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Oklahoma City, despite playing one less game than those teams as well. When you look at the Bulls and when they play the best, is when they're spreading the ball out. And then also, when you pair that with off-ball movement that we're doing, the Bulls are just playing a higher brand of offensive, of efficient offensive basketball than we've ever seen before for this team. Well, at least under the Billy Donovan era. The Bulls have mixed and taken what worked really good last year for them in pace, and now they've added attacking the basket more consistently than settling for three-point shots, as well as getting to the free throw line, as you know, with those things and the assist number. And they've basically used the blueprint that we laid out last season, and they've now made an even more efficient offense based off that. The Bulls were leading the league in several offensive categories last year, but efficiency was not one of them. And that's really where the Bulls have really thrived at so far this season, is that they're not just getting up more shots. They're not just playing at a faster pace. They're playing it more efficiently and attacking the rim in doing so. And that's predicated by the way that they spread the ball out and that they pass to each other. You have multiple ball handlers out there at any point in time. You have multiple solid passers out there at any point in time. And that is adding to the system that we're seeing where everybody eats. And so as long as that this team is that, it's going to be difficult for teams to figure us out completely. Now, there eventually will be teams that guard us better, and there will be another level of adaptation that the Chicago Bulls are going to have to do at some point this season in regards to the efficiency of their offense. That's going to happen for sure. But overall, like when you play this way and in this manner, and you have this many players that are really, you know, contributing to the game and this much involved to the offensive side of the ball, it just puts pressures on defenses. And that is something that I've really been wanting to see from this Bulls team for a while. We've had really, really, I think, players that would have always thrived with a more up-tempo, off-ball movement system. Now that we're finally getting that, that's what's been making this really special for the Chicago Bulls so far. Next thing, continuing getting multiple players in double figures. The Bulls, when you look at it so far this season, they lead the league in average players scoring in double figures. Now, there are some teams that are absolutely still all five of their starters, but the Bulls are basically averaging 6.5 players in double figures in each game so far this season. That is basically, you round that up to 7 players are typically scoring in double figures. And, you know, it doesn't have to be high double figures. Of course, you have some players that are getting 10, 11 points. But again, it goes back to that everybody eats mindset, that spreading the ball out mindset that this Bulls team needs to have this season. And they're really thriving in that. And so you're seeing this being a team that's able to do this great. And on top of that, right, it's the bench role that's also playing a huge part in this. When you get Kevin Huerter and Io DeSumo, and even in the last game, Jalen Smith all scoring in double figures off the bench, what are you supposed to do with that? How can you attack that, right? And you know, I know this is something that a lot of people come at Isaac Okoro about, and I completely understand it, is that this is why he needs to hit the open shots better. And I get that, right? Because he's really the one player in that starting lineup that's not averaging double figures. But again, that's not his role. And so I give him a little bit more, I guess, leniency in that than some Bulls fans do in regards to him not scoring. My biggest thing is wide open shots. He needs to hit that at a better rate. But when you have Kevin Huerter and Io and coming in the way, I'll say this as well, coming in and playing amazing defense as well are those bench players. You know, it's just, I've never seen Kevin Huerter be this way where he's picking up a player one-on-one defensively, then he's basically putting a body on him and they can't get him off of him. Like, and it goes to show how much of defense really does come down to effort for a lot of these players. If you are giving consistent effort, you know, you're going to be a really solid defensive team. Points in the paint are a big part of why this Bulls team is winning as well. You look at getting to the rim, scoring at the rim, scoring with efficiency, instead of hosting up a bunch of threes. That is what has made this offense so much more potent as well. We do still space the floor. That's the thing. We still space the floor because we still will take the threes. We'll take them more openly. But when you collapse the defense, it means that they have to guard for that paint too. They're not just going to give up the paint. And even though the Bulls themselves are giving up a lot of points in the paint, the Bulls are opening up clear driving lanes. And so teams are still, as it stands right now, you know, playing this Bulls team for three-pointers because they have to. You give up three-pointers to the Chicago Bulls, and guess what? You're going to get behind the eight ball when it comes down to that. The Bulls are fourth in three-point above the break efficiency, but we're 23rd in frequency, right? So that means that while we're not taking a bunch of them, we're hitting them at a really good rate. The corner threes, we're taking it at the fifth best rate in the NBA. So these still got to play us for that too. These are things that are really leading the Chicago Bulls. But you look at it, we actually lead the league in the percentage of our points that are coming from the restricted area. Again, like, we're number one in that. We are scoring 39.6% of our buckets in the restricted area, and we're hitting it in there at 64%. So, like, we are really efficient at getting to the paint, and that's really what's helped this team quite a bit. And then with all that, free throws. The Bulls have been a team that have struggled with free throws for, I don't know what to say, for years. And that was something that I talked about. I put that challenge on Modis, on Kobe, and on Josh Giddey coming into this as far as getting to the free throw line a lot more consistently, because that's what you really need from this team. And so we're seeing also with going to the paint, attacking the rim, and the pace, all those things being put in together, you're getting tons of more free throws than what you would expect. And that's really what's helping this team. And keep in mind, the Bulls aren't even in the top 10 of free throw attempts. I think we're top half of the league for sure. We're averaging 27 free throw attempts per game. And that alone is a huge uptick from where the Bulls were last season. And you got to love to see that. For example, last season, the Chicago Bulls are only, as a team, averaging 19 free throw attempts per game. That's a considerable jump up. And we were second to last in the NBA in that area. And now we've turned it into where we've gone from a bottom tier team to a top half of the league team. With getting to the free throw line. You keep playing like that, you're going to be able to win basketball games. And that's really what this comes down to. Can the Bulls attack the Knicks tonight in those areas? I'm telling you right now, the Knicks found something out in the second half of that game, and they're definitely going to be coming into this game trying to use what they found out in the second half that worked for them and use that more consistently against the Bulls team tonight. And so we'll see if they're able to be successful. The Bulls got to be locked in, and especially defensively. You know, that stretch that we gave up, it's a team like the Knicks. I'm not mad. You're going to give up stretches. But I think more specifically that the Bulls never gave up the lead is a big thing here, but they got to be prepared. The Knicks are not coming lightly at all. And one of the players that have had always big performances in Madison Square Garden is actually Josh Giddey, which brings us to our next topic. When you look at the Bulls players that were young and became all-stars early in their career, Derrick Rose became an all-star at 21. Jimmy Butler became an all-star for the first time at 25. Zach LaVine was an all-star first at 25 as well, right? When you look at the way that Josh Giddey's playing right now, he's playing at a level that's higher than Jimmy Butler and higher than Zach LaVine when they were all-stars. He's impacting more areas of the game. Now, you can say that Jimmy Butler was a better overall player, and I'm not going to argue with you on that one. But when you look at how Josh Giddey is a near triple-double every single night, right? Josh Giddey is putting together an all-star campaign this year to where I think, listen, for all the people, all the naysayers, all the Josh Giddey doubters, at some point, you're going to have to update your narrative. And I get it. Josh Giddey sometimes looks very awkward in what he does, but he's successful in it. Josh Giddey on this season is averaging 22 points, almost 9 rebounds, 8.8 rebounds, and 8 assists per game, nearly a triple-double. We're talking about, if he does that for a team with a 50-win record, he's an MVP consideration with those numbers. I'm not saying he'll win it, but I'm definitely saying he'd get some top three votes if he finishes the season and the Bulls were to finish with 50-plus wins. He's going to be in that conversation. You know, it is what it is there. That's just facts. But then when you look at the efficiency that he has, he's shooting the ball at 45% efficiency from the three-point range. Now, that'd be ridiculous if he keeps that up for the entirety of the year. But you looked at last year was his highest at 37%. He's upping that by 8% so far this season. Now, I do think there's going to be some regression to a mean at some point. The Bulls are shooting hot right now in general. But even if he's able to keep that at 38-ish percent with taking 4.5 three-pointers per game, the most of his NBA career, that's really good, and that keeps defenses honest for Josh Giddey. He's shooting the ball 48% from the field overall, and the reason why he's doing that is that he's getting to the paint more, which is leading to him getting 7 free throw attempts per game, which is doubling what he did last year. Last year was his career high at 3.2. He's over doubled that. At this point, it's early in the season. We're 5 games in. There are a lot of MVP candidates. But if Josh Giddey is to keep up this level of play for the entirety of the year, there's no doubt that he's going to be an all-star. There's just no doubt, even if he does have to get in as a reserve because of the way that the Chicago Bulls are viewed by the national media, and I think some national voters as well, this where it comes down to it. But here's what I'll say. To have it an all-star at this young, if he does end up becoming that, and he's putting up all-star level numbers, that alone raises it. And we keep talking about this thing of why people doubt the direction that the Chicago Bulls team is on. I don't still know. And a lot of it does come down to Giddey. And I think people still don't believe it. And I think when you look at Josh Giddey, he's a testament to why not just playing, not just starting, the way that you play, the position that you play, and the style that you play is as important to your success as you just being out there being a starter. Josh Giddey was not allowed to be the point guard very often because they had Shea, an MVP. No doubt about it. Not knocking them for not playing Josh Giddey at the point guard when you have an MVP caliber player there. Part of the reason that I was high on him coming to Chicago is that he was going to be able to go into that role and play well in that role and thrive in being the actual point guard for this team. When you look at among all Eastern Conference guards right now, Josh Giddey is 10th in points per game, 4th in assists per game, and he leads either conference in rebounding per game. He is one off to one of the best starts of any guard in the NBA, period. Period. And so he's doing this while also scoring efficiently and leading this team. And I tell you what, if this holds up, we're not just going to be talking about a great season for Josh Giddey. We're going to be talking about Josh Giddey being an all-star and doing that in a Chicago Bulls uniform. And all I got to say is this. If you still look at this man and you hate him for whatever else and he's doing that for your team in this uniform, the problem isn't Josh Giddey. The problem is you. But with that said, let's go ahead and get into the voicemails for today. It is Sunday. That means it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man. This first one, this one's from Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Hayes? My name's Mike. This is my first time calling, bro. Well, actually, it's my second time calling. However, I was just listening to the episode you dropped today, and you were talking about the Bulls making the playoffs. And, man, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I think the Bulls have created an identity and a culture that's going to allow them to, like, be very sustainable in terms of play style. However, I wanted to add something to what you were saying. I heard you were saying something about, Coby White, essentially, and how he can help this team grow. I don't think there's pressure on Coby, but I think Coby has the opportunity to establish himself in a way that he's never gotten the opportunity to before this year. Yes, he is the number one and everything like that, but he has a chance to really go for being a superstar if he really wants to. And I'm not saying Coby is one, but I think Coby feels like he's one. And I think he is going to get the opportunity to take a swing at it. Maybe he'll surprise me. Maybe he'll prove me wrong in me saying that he's not a superstar, but I think this is the chance, the opportunity. It's almost like he's getting the opportunity to have his Halliburton here, his Halliburton. You know, I think that's what's about to happen. But I don't know if it's going to be as impactful as Halliburton was or if it's going to be, you know, a little lackluster. So I'm excited to see what it's going to look like when he gets back. But, man, this team is built for him. The system is set up for him. Like, the way that we move in transition, he led the league in transition last year. Like, and I believe that he's going to have to operate a lot more in the half court with Giddey playing more off ball. I see him filling in right where Trey is and essentially being a half court operator. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity to score he's going to have a lot of off-ball opportunities to score, too. But yeah, I'm just excited for it. All right, bro. Bye.
Bulls making the playoffs. Listen, I feel very confident in the Bulls making the playoffs this year. Now-
Every woman knows the feeling. That quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot. The moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0. A personal safety alarm designed by women, for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, nonviolent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Now, I'm not saying they're necessarily going to make it as a top six seed. If they keep this up, they will be. But I have more confidence in this team being a team that can make it through the play-in. And keep in mind, we haven't even seen Coby White or Zach Collins out there with this team yet. So, yes, I have a tons of faith in this Bulls team. And I think that you pointed it out, the sustainable play style that they're having. And with Coby White coming back here, and like I laid out on yesterday's episode, Coby White's coming into a situation where what he does, what his strengths are going to help this team just naturally with where his strengths are. And there's this misconception of who Coby White is as a player. But you know what? I'm going to stop talking about it because once Coby White is back, I do think that he will show that and show that pretty early on. Maybe a little bit of rust there, but I do think he's going to show it early on, in my opinion. And I already know if the Bulls don't suffer their first loss to Coby White's back, they're going to blame it on Coby White. But they did the same thing with Vooch. And now look how Vooch is playing. So, that, you know, it is what it is. I've learned to not really worry so much about fan narratives because fans are wishy-washy. They're going to go in and out of things because that's just the nature of fans. And I think it's sometimes disgusting, but we'll get more on that. We got some other voicemails. Let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Reginald.
Hey. This is Reginald just calling the morning after the Bulls win over the Knicks. Hard-fought game. Once again, love the effort and energy the Bulls gave for all four quarters. The refs tried to give them, you know, the game to the Knicks in the third, you know, by calling all those ticky-tack fouls, but at this point, this might just be one of those things we are just going to have to get used to. I can't say enough good things about several players on this team. One of them, probably the biggest surprise, is Kevin Herter. I probably said this too many times, but Kevin Herter, defensive, you know, effort reminds me of Mike Miller when he was in Miami. I mean, before he got Miami, he was just known as a three-point shooter. Then he started playing with them, you know, with LeBron and D-Wade and all of them. And you'll notice that he was guarding some of the better players. And he was holding his own because he was playing really good, you know, team defense. He was helping people out. He was using his length to get steals, get in the passing lane. And I've seen Kevin Herter do similar things to that. And I'm extremely surprised by it and happy by it. I'm a little concerned with Trey Jones. Hopefully it was just a one-time thing, but I noticed he was hesitating to attack the rim, to take shots. I'm not sure why, but hopefully it was just a one-time thing. I would like to see Patrick Williams get down low more when the ball's in the air, you know, to fight for rebounds, because, you know, being a forward and only getting, like, one rebound a game isn't going to cut it. But I like the aggressiveness I see from him from time to time. Hopefully he can keep it up. But my question to you is, what do you see, like, coming off of after this start? Should the Bulls consider giving guys like Kevin Herter an extension? And what would that extension look like, in your opinion? Thanks for hearing me out.
Should the Bulls offer Kevin Herter an extension? Yeah, I think that they should. I think Kevin Herter, if nothing else, has shown that he's going to be a connectivity player for you and can thrive in the way that the Bulls play. Now, I don't think that they will, though, because I do think this Bulls team is waiting to give the contracts. They want to go into the offseason with that cap flexibility. The Bulls have $110 million in cap flexibility this offseason. And I think because of them already having to wait to give Io and Kobe, you know, sign them in the offseason, I think they're going to want that full financial cap flexibility to go after some free agents and things like that. Keep in mind, they have bird rights for Kevin Huerter. So even if they do sign players, they can still use their bird rights to re-sign him to go over the cap. So again, not the luxury tax, over the cap, which the Bulls always are. So I think that's what they're going to prioritize, the cap flexibility. But I think when you look at how AK appreciates players that contribute to winning and that fight here, that love to be here, I think that they're like Kevin Huerter is going to get an extension. If he wants to stay here in Chicago, he's going to get an extension. I'm not too worried about that. It just may have to come through free agency more so than it coming before the end of the season. That's my thought process. But great, great question there, Reggie. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Michael Korn.
Hey, good day, CEO Hayes. 5-0, man. So, like, who knew? Diaz, Michael Korn. Thinking, it seems like every run by the opposing team, the Bulls have answered, and opposing teams haven't answered all the Bulls' runs. Keep it up. One Josh Giddey stat line from yesterday, I read somewhere that, you know, it's only the third time in Bulls history, you know, if you go back to Jordan, of course, and then go all the way back to Guy Rogers, 1967. Dude, I remember that team as a kid, but I remember Guy Rogers. The one thing younger Bulls fans should always know, this is a marathon. Every season is a marathon as well, but having a career following the Bulls, lots of ups and downs, of course, but every era there's a special team. Maybe this year's Bulls, it will be that team that gives just a lot of excitement how they're playing. The connective thread among all the Bulls teams that like seem to rise up like this, defense. And, you know, Hayes, you've been talking about, you know, Bulls finding an identity. I think they have found it, and it is connected or related to Bulls culture, defense culture, so which is great to see. You guys mentioned yesterday in your coverage the suffocating defense. I want to see that kept up. And last thing I want to say is a shout-out to you, to Patrick. Pat, the designer, as well. Lockdown is great following the games. I really enjoy New Dimension, following the Bulls that you guys have brought, you and your crew, you know, Steve Dove and the others. It's really enjoyable following you guys. Pure joy. It's great, man. Hey, go Bulls. Keep it happening. Thanks, man. Bye.
The season is definitely a marathon, bro, and we have several players playing great right now, and I hope that they don't burn out on that marathon. Now, we got reinforcements coming in Kobe and Zach Collins as well. The way that we spread things out as a team, it's a different person every single night. I think we'll be fine, but, you know, like I said, I want to make sure a losing streak is coming at some point. It's just going to happen. It happens for every team. How long that losing streak is, that remains to be seen, but a losing streak of some sort is going to come at points of the season. We're going to lose back-to-back games. We're going to lose three in a row, maybe. Like, we're going to do some things like that. And I think, in a lot of ways, somebody left a comment, and I think it was a great comment, in which they said, like, in a strange way, a loss for this team may be best. And I'm paraphrasing here, and it was a really poignant comment because, yeah, seeing how they rebound from a loss is part of this test as well. How quickly do they catch back up after a losing streak or a bad loss? That's the thing that we're trying to look at as well. So I think in a lot of ways of that. But you're also saying that the defensive culture that we're building here is important to the sustainability. I 100% agree with you. What we're building here defensively is the thing that also makes this feel very sustainable because we're getting after it. Keep in mind, we're doing this without a lot of players that are considered great one-on-one defenders. And that comes down to the scheming that Wes Unseld and Billy Donovan are doing with the defense for this team and how the players are thriving in that. And again, got to give them credit for that because it's evident, it's real, and we're seeing it. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get into this next voicemail, man. This one is from Caden.
What's up, Hayes? It's Caden again. Like I always say in every voicemail, man, thank you for the content that you do. I heard something interesting with Billy Donovan talking on, I think it was the Molly and Hall show, and he did something that I think is kind of genius, and I want to know your thoughts on it. He said something along the lines of, when Coby White gets back, he doesn't want Coby to do this thing where he's timid and he's like, I'm trying to, like, I gotta try to fit in because the team is winning. He wants Coby White to come back and be the guy who Coby White has always been. And I think that's genius. He also spoke about, like, being patient with Coby White, understanding that he missed some of the summertime and that he, like, he wasn't gonna, you know, it was gonna take him time to, like, come back and be him again. But I thought that was kind of genius to get ahead of that, like, and get ahead of kind of the narrative of, oh, Coby White is messing up the team, or in case when Coby White did come back, there were, like, some, like, integration issues, which I don't think it'll be. I think we saw at the end of last season that Coby White was definitely a big fit for this team, and I had said on, like, another video of yours that I think he could have arguably been the biggest reason why the Bulls went on that run to end the season last year, like, even with the team doing as well as it's doing now. But anyway, that said, I thought that was kind of genius, because when I really think about it from a basketball perspective, Coby White draws double teams. And if you got a team that can attack from all sides and a team that can, that kind of, there's no one you can key in on, or, you know, there's no one that teams can go, hey, we got to double team that guy. If you bring a guy in who they have to double team, and make no mistake, like, it's very few players who want to get stuck on a one-on-one island with Coby White. Then that just makes the Bulls more scary, in my opinion. But I want to know what you think about it. If you've seen the interview, what do you think about what Billy said, man? And again, like, thank you, bro, for representing the Bulls, bro. My favorite team. I love this team. I know you love this team. And that's why I love your content, because, like, people who love their team can relate, my boy. I'm a bad editor, though.
Billy Donovan does understand how to control the narrative. I think, one thing about him is that he kind of understands how things are going to come. I think that is so stupid what Bulls fans do, that the Bulls are on a winning streak and you use that winning streak to down a player while they're out and then try to, like, it's so stupid. Like, don't you want to operate from a place of talent? This is why I always say I love, I'm a regular, but this is why fans don't make decisions, because they're too knee-jerky and they're too reactionary without looking at the big scope and fuller picture. And then it becomes some type of dumbass groupthink in some areas, right? But like I said, all is going to be out in the wash. All will be proven. And it is what it is. Kobe's going to bring a lot of things that this team is missing that help strengthen some areas of this team that are already good at. And that's what I want to see. Zach Collins definitely is going to come here and help with paint defense as well in his minutes out there, something that the Bulls have struggled at. So all these things coming into that, he's going to be really good for this team. And like I said, Kobe's going to prove it. And, the same people that were doubting Josh Giddey, the same people doubt Nikola Vucevic every single year, I think Kobe's going to come in and, much like Vuce, prove them wrong. But, all right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one is from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? This is Shay. Look, I was wondering, let's say, for instance, we are able to trade Javon Carter to a team like the Milwaukee Bucks because they need some guard depth, and we were to trade for, like, a second-round pick or maybe some cash consideration. Would you use that last roster spot for and go out and get another big, or would you just sign Lachlan Aubrey to a full guaranteed deal? Or what would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do? What would be the smart thing for you to do with that last roster spot? Or if we were to just outright waive him, what would you do with that last roster spot? Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
If any team is willing to take Javon Carter, you trade Javon Carter. I don't care if they're offering you three toothpicks. If they're willing to take Javon Carter off your hands, you take that deal. And listen, I don't think the Bucks are going to do it. And I want to be clear, I don't think any team is going to reach out for Javon Carter, because Javon is kind of the garbage time king. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. If a team does look at the point guard situation and thinks Javon Carter can help, let his ass go. I mean, we're not using him. Even at the baseline, we're not using the ball headed hole. You might as well send him off, right? Now, as far as what I would do with the open roster spot, if it creates one, I'm going to tell you right now. I know he has his stuff going on and we have to wait for the NBA to clear him. I'm signing Malik Beasley. The Bulls have the most money to offer of any team right now outside of just the vet minimum. I'm going after Malik Beasley. You, and then I'm sorry, hey, Isaac Okoro, I'm sorry. Malik Beasley's going in that starting lineup. Or you can now put Io in that starting lineup and feel more comfortable with Beasley coming off the bench. I'm telling you right now, if the Bulls were to get an open roster spot, the player that I'm going after once he's cleared with the drama is Malik Beasley to add to this team. Is it realistic? No, it's not going to happen. But you ask me what I would do. That's what I would do. I'd go after Malik Beasley. So let me know what you guys think on that down below. There is a game today, so we will be live for pregame, live call, and the postgame show tonight. So make sure you guys stay in tune with us for the game. Can't wait to see you guys there. You guys can follow us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. And like I liked in every episode on, stay safe out there. Go Bulls. And always see red. Love you guys. Peace, y'all.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.